We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Alec White, and we are recording another Arizona basketball podcast talking all things Arizona ASU. Before we get into our podcast, make sure you download the Wildcaster app. If you're not listening to us on Apple Podcasts, which you should, subscribe there, rate it, review it, share with all your friends. But if you don't want to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, make sure you download the Wildcaster app. You can download it. It's free not only on the App Store for iPhone users, but if you have Android, you can download it on Google Play. So wherever you want to listen to us, the Wildcaster app is always a good option. Alec,
what's up?
Arizona ASU, man. It's rivalry week. It's weird because I feel like we just had this podcast like last week.
It was a couple weeks. It felt like it. 2 weeks ago, these teams were playing against each other for the first time, and now they're doing it again. And, you know, I don't remember, you know, the last time where, you know, they played with, you know, within 2 weeks. It's been a while since that's, you know, really happened in this rivalry. But hey, you get it over with. Arizona's got a chance right now. They're hot, riding a 2-game win streak. They looked really good over the weekend, beating Utah and Colorado. And, you know, going to Tempe is always difficult, but for Arizona, I like that they've got some momentum going into this one.
You know, the luxury of living in Tucson, Arizona, of all places, and being around the Arizona basketball fan base is you can be so high, like, oh my gosh, these guys are the greatest thing since sliced cheese. And then there's the lowest of the lows. Arizona has experienced that yeah, since the last time they played ASU, right? Went on the road against Oregon. First time they were swept by the Oregon school since the 2005-06 season. Trivia, can you name the best player from that 05-06 team?
No.
Hassan Adams. Yeah, hot sauce, okay, baby. Yeah, interesting team. Ivan Radenovic, Mustafa Shakur, like, such a weird team. They were supposed to be so good, and they didn't really end up doing anything. But anyways, besides the fact, that was the last time Arizona was swept by the Oregon schools on the road. And especially against Oregon State.
That was a big letdown.
Like, ASU beat Oregon State. A lot of teams have beaten Oregon State, but not only did they lose to Oregon State, they got crushed by Oregon State. And that was the valley for Arizona. That was the low moment. Like, wow, is this team actually bad?
You had a fire Sean Miller tweets trending on Twitter. That was in, you know, on the trending for you in your local area. Fire Sean Miller was one of the trending topics after that Oregon State game. So that just shows what you're speaking to about, you know, the highs and the lows. That was a big low. And I mean, I don't, you know, it's just fans, you know, unhappy with the result, but it just goes to show you how basketball crazy, you know, this town gets after football ends.
Well, they were hoping for a successful basketball season because, like, you bring up football. You know, I heard, and you probably heard, you know, growing up here in Tucson, you know, when Mike Stoops wasn't winning, you always heard the term hoops over Stoops. Yes. Until he got Nick Foles going, and then it was Stoops over hoops. But Arizona fans are always going to be more dramatic when it comes to basketball because there's a higher expectation. But with all these crazy high expectations, the fans are so damn frustrated because they haven't been to a Final Four since 2001. So you have all this, I guess, built up anger, built up frustration. Like, people are getting impatient because, I mean, we're closing in on almost 20 years since Arizona last made a Final Four.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think.
And we're what, 11 years into the Sean Miller era, and
yeah.
You know, he got close right off the bat, and then, you know, the 2014, 2015 years were, you know, heartbreakers, and then they just, it seems like ever since that, Arizona's kind of just been on a downtrend.
Yeah. But, of course, there are the highs.
Oh, absolutely.
When we're talking about the moments between the two ASU games, the one tomorrow night and then the one from a few weeks ago, the lows were it was the Oregon trip. But then the highs this past weekend against Utah, against Colorado, specifically the Buffaloes, because Colorado ranked number 21 in the country. It was Arizona's first top 25 win in this season. So that was a big moment for Arizona. You felt like they really took a big step forward as a program, and it was how they did it too. Everybody was involved, minus Chase Jeter. We'll talk about his status later on. But Ira Lee played almost 26 minutes off the bench, had 7 points or 6 points and 7 rebounds. He was a nice spark. And the way they defended and out-rebounded Colorado, you know, Colorado is one of the best teams in the Pac-12 for a reason. For Arizona to go and display that kind of performance showed what this team is capable of. So as of now, Arizona's at that high moment. Can they keep it up on the road? That's the big question.
Oh, absolutely the big question. We've seen this team struggle when it leaves McHale. You know, you go all the way back to the Wooden Legacy. Yeah, they won the Wooden Legacy, but, you know, they didn't have overly convincing performances in that one. You know, they let Pepperdine hang around. They let Penn hang around. They let, you know, Wake Forest hang around for a while. It's teams that, you know, we thought Arizona should beat by, you know, 10, 15 points. You know, kudos to them for pulling off the win, but, you know, some struggles there defending on the road. And then obviously the Baylor game, you know, they had the neutral site against St. John's where they lost. And then, you know, they lost on the road to the Oregon schools. So there are legitimate questions about whether or not this team can take their act on the road. And what better way to test that? You're going up to your rival. ASU is always going to bring it when it's in their house. You know, we'll get into some of the matchups, as you said, in a little bit, but it's fair to question right now whether or not Arizona can win on the road.
So we're going to preview that game along with other Pac-12 matchups for this weekend. But Alec, I want to talk about just the overall rivalry between Arizona and ASU. Us growing up in Tucson, it never felt like a rivalry.
No, it didn't. I mean, it was a game that you were tuned into, but it wasn't like this week build up of like, oh my gosh, this is the game this week. It was like, all right, ASU rival, you know, let's go beat the Sun Devils again. Because it wasn't too much of a rivalry. It was one-sided.
I think the only time where I was like, man, I need to get home and watch this Arizona ASU game right away was in 2009. Arizona was on the bubble of making the NCAA mm-hmm. tournament. That was when they had Jordan Hill, Nick Wise, Chase Buttinger, and they needed to beat ASU or at least go far in the Pac-10 tournament to make the NCAA tournament. And that's when ASU had James Harden, Jeff Pendergraf, who now goes by Jeff Ayers. Is Jeff Pendergraf still playing? I feel like
I don't think so.
Is he still playing in the league?
Maybe.
Okay. Maybe we need to look this up. It feels like he's about to play tomorrow night with ASU. He was one of those guys. I was joking around with Jeff Dean about this earlier on radio. Jeff Pendergraf was that guy that felt like he was at ASU for 10 years. Like he was there forever. He was like Perry Ellis status at Kansas. But yeah, that year in 2009 was the one year where I was like, okay, I need to get home and watch this game because this is the most important game for Arizona because if they don't win, they're not going to make the NCAA tournament. Well, apparently they convinced the committee and they ended up getting in the end. But that was the last time I was really excited for an Arizona ASU matchup. Other than that, it's been lopsided and you don't really get excited for it as much as Arizona UCLA.
I mean, I think really when DeAndre Ayton that year, ASU started out, it was like 11-0, 12-0. And
oh, when they were number three.
Right. They came into McHale. I think that's really the first time, you know, cause I would watch ASU U of A games on TV growing up, but I, you know, wasn't able to, you know, attend one, you know, just didn't work out. You know, getting tickets and things like that when I lived, you know, while growing up here. But that was, you know, the first real I was in McHale for the, you know, UVA, you know, with Ayton, number, ASU was number 3, Arizona was number 17, and, you know, Arizona just, you know, it was one of the most anticipated rivalry games, first ranked matchup, you know, between the two schools in quite some time. And, you know, that was really the first time where you felt that, that fever of in the arena of, oh, this is a big rivalry game.
Arizona did such a fantastic job trolling ASU too, because the hype around ASU's program was guard you.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, you know, hyping up Trey Holder. We got Remy Martin, all these guys.
Shannon Evans,
yeah. And they kept saying, guard you. They were like shoving it down people's throats. We're guard you. When the school down the road goes by point guard you, they've been going by point guard you for, you know, quite a long time. And in the pregame intro video, you know, when they do the 72 NBA draft picks,
oh, yeah,
31 All-Americans, they did all Arizona point guards or just guards in general. So they had like Mike Bibby, Jason Gardner, Jared Bayless, like all these. TJ McConnell was also in the video. Like they just put all these guards in trolling ASU, and nobody really like discovered it. I noticed. I was like, all those are guards.
Yeah.
There wasn't a big, there wasn't a Richard Jefferson, there wasn't a Luke Walton, Steve Kerr, and all these guys. It was cool. But the reason why we're talking about the rivalry and growing up in Tucson, there've also been memorable moments, some bizarre moments in this game, from Kevin Parham.
No easy buckets
on Ty Abbott to a cheerleader getting ejected from the game, like
2 years ago,
and that same year with DeAndre Ayton, yeah, from Tempe. I forgot what the cheerleader said, like, not today, Remy.
Yeah, it was, you can't like yell during, while they're taking a free, you can't yell at the player. You can like make noise, but you can't like direct a name at them. And
yeah,
the cheerleader was like, it was a, you know, a male cheerleader, and he had, you know, the megaphone, and he was, I think it was like, you know, you're going to miss Remy, or not today, Remy, something, yeah, like that. And as he was shooting, and then they like kicked him out. There was like, he was booed out of the arena. And then that was a turning point. Arizona went on, and DeAndre Ayton had like, you know, 8 points in the final 7 minutes of the game.
I'm sure he didn't want to get kicked out or dismissed from being a cheerleader, you know, from the program. But man, if I was that guy, and I was getting kicked out of the arena, knowing how many Arizona basketball fans are in attendance, I would have turned around one last time with my megaphone and just like
raise it up,
yell, yeah, just yell, raise up the megaphone and just go out in style.
Dude was a legend, like on campus the next week.
Yeah, I remember a bunch of reporters reached out to him, yeah, asking like what happened. It was a big thing. But Alec, when you look at this rivalry, what was the most iconic moment to you, or when you think Arizona ASU basketball going up against each other, what's that one moment that jumps out?
I think it's the Lou Olsen pointing at the scoreboard. You know, ASU Arizona went up to Tempe, and the fans were shouting about Bobby, you know, Lute's wife, and you know, Lute just nonchalantly just points at the scoreboard. Somebody grabs a photo, and that, you know, that becomes, I think that's, you know, if there's a photo, if you're going to put on your display of Arizona versus ASU, that's probably in your top three of a photo that you're going to, you know, image that you're going to hold on to. And I think that's just really iconic.
No easy buckets is another one.
No easy buckets, yeah.
For, you know, most recent moments, of course, the male cheerleader getting ejected.
Bobby Hurley getting a T on Tempe. I think it was in like 2015, 2016. And he just got, you know, got tossed out of the game late in the game, and he's just throwing a tantrum everywhere.
Does he do that this weekend? I've heard that Bobby Hurley's actually been a little bit mild, on the sidelines.
The couple ASU games that I've watched, he's obviously, you know, done his typical Bobby Hurley, you know, rants and sideline, but it hasn't been over the top where he's, you know, on the cusp of getting ejected every game, which seemed to be the case a couple years ago. But if ASU is down
by like
15 or 20 points late in this game and something happens or there's a foul call that Bobby doesn't like, I can easily see him just, you know, throwing a fit, trying to get his guys riled and exiting the building.
I love Bobby Hurley so much.
He's great.
He's so great. And he does it whenever he yells at the officials, he does it with his hands behind his back.
Oh, yeah. So he doesn't like touch him.
So it doesn't look like, you know, he's threatening. So yeah. All you get is his face and him yelling and him turning
tomato red.
Yeah, Bobby Hurley is so awesome. And does he still drink Diet Cokes on the sideline?
I haven't noticed.
Okay. I know that was his thing.
His thing. He had a Diet Coke, and then he'd always have like – he'd always like listen, have earbuds in pregame and just like sit on the bench for like 20 minutes listening to pregame music.
I wonder what's on Bobby Hurley's pregame playlist. Because he was playing college ball at the time with Christian Laettner and Grant Hill.
Oh, yeah.
And so
– Duke.
So and hip-hop was really splashing on the scene at that time. You watch the I Hate Christian Laettner documentary, and they're talking about Christian always listening to like Public Enemy and like Flava Flav and Wu-Tang Clan. Like I wonder if that's what Bobby Hurley listens to. But when I think about memorable moments in this rivalry, the one that I will always think about is Salim Stoudemire in 2005. The game was on the line. Arizona was either down by one or down by they were down by one because it was a game-winning bucket, or they were tied. And Salim Stoudemire hits a turnaround jumper with seconds left. Nothing but net. Arizona ends up winning the game. And that was just one of several iconic Salim Stoudemire moments. We all remember the game winner against UCLA at McHale Center.
Mm-hmm.
There was also one in the Sweet 16 against Oklahoma State in the NCAA tournament. And he was always clutch. Whenever you were in a tight game in 2004, 2005, you wanted the ball in Salim Stoudemire's hands. So that was one that I will always remember. No easy buckets. Even though I wasn't around during this time, when Lute Olson first got here and Steve Kerr was a part of the team, ASU fans were heckling Steve Kerr about his father, who was recently murdered overseas. His father passed away.
Dang.
And they were heckling him. They were, you know, talking about his dad. And to think it like, really? Like, that's what you're going to do?
Yeah.
That's what you're going to, you know, get, you know, roast the guy for, is his dad passing away? That's inhumane. Like, you don't do that. That's, you're not
it's a Bush good, League.
You're not a good human being if you do that. And then Steve Kerr just absolutely goes off, makes three pointer after three pointer. Arizona beats ASU. And it was just kind of a big middle finger to all those guys who were talking about Steve Kerr's father right after he passed. So, while this rivalry has been one-sided, there have been some iconic moments, memorable moments.
Absolutely.
I actually had a chance to talk to former Arizona Wildcat and current ESPN college basketball analyst Corey Williams on ESPN Tucson early this week about, you know, some of the moments that he remembers about the rivalry.
There's a lot of crazy stories between the ASU game. I remember going up to ASU, and I don't know, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year. We were kicking them by like 25. And we were staying up there for the night. And I remember turning to one of the guys like, yo, where's the party at? And like, they looked at me kind of crazy. Like, we wanted to hang out with them after the game. Like, basketball was secondary. Like, we knew we were going to kick their butt. So we were trying to hang out in Phoenix and go to parties afterwards. And it was just funny because they were insulted. And we were like, you guys really didn't think, y'all didn't think y'all was going to win. I mean, we up here partying. The game's over. Where's the party at? You know, we're trying to party at ASU and kick it with y'all. Or, you know, take us to the parties. And they were mad. But this is what it was. We never really took them seriously. And then I remember I think it was my junior year, or maybe it was my senior year. They played us and beat us in McHale. And it was like three or four overtimes. We had like four or five people foul out, and they won in like two or three overtimes. It's a crazy game. And, you know, that's, I mean, I think we still ended up winning the conference that year. I can't remember. It was like 20 some odd years ago. But playing ASU during our era, it wasn't ever really that big of a deal. We had the kind of recruits that were five-star recruits. They didn't. They were definitely little brother. Coach Olson had more class and style than Frieder. All of our recruits were bigger names than their recruits. We knew there was a rivalry, but we didn't really feel it because we were a pretty arrogant bunch ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we knew what that game meant to our fan base in terms of bragging rights. So we would always try to put our best foot forward. I just remember going up there and not really seeing their crowd or their student section. Of course, Bobby Hurley's done a great job in turning things around and getting the fan base back and getting the excitement going about ASU basketball again. But I played during a pretty dominant era in terms of basketball. They got us a few times. I'm still friends with a lot of guys that played at ASU. My first professional job, I ended up replacing Ron Riley, who played at ASU. I'm friends with Lester Neal, who lives up in Phoenix and is actually married to a Wildcat gal who played basketball for us, April. So, you know, I know some of those guys from them, some good times. And then, of course, once you're out of college and you run into these guys around town or around Phoenix, it's all laughs and handshakes, lots of good friends.
All right, so now we're going to turn our focus to what has happened recently in Arizona basketball news. Updates from yesterday, the McDonald's All-American rosters were announced, and fringe player Dalen Terry was not included in the roster. I say fringe player because he was, you know, a guy who could have made the cut, but it's no surprise that he didn't appear on the roster. But you know, Sean Miller said during his press conference yesterday, we don't care. It's a McDonald's All-American game. Of course, you want to see them, you know, be a part of such a great tradition. And Dalen Terry is going to be a very important part to next year's team. 6'7" wing. He's a guard. He's based out of Phoenix. And he's been under the radar for a long time now as a high school prospect. And then he just blossomed, over the last, you know, year or two, but Arizona doesn't care. Why? Because Zeke Nagy wasn't a McDonald's All-American and he's the best player on the team.
Yep. It's a good distinction to have. It's a good accolade for these individual players. You know, and I'm sure, you know, Dalen Terry is, you know, a little bit disappointed that didn't make, you know, the McDonald's All-American cut. But at the end of the day, it's not going to have any bearing on whether or not he's going to be successful at Arizona. You know, I, you know, like Terry's game. I think, you know, he's impressive. You know, he's an impressive scorer. You know, he's going to be a key guy on the wing next year when you're losing, you know, probably, you know, most of the backcourt that's starting right now for the Wildcats. So, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal, but, you know, it would have been nice for him to make it, but in terms of Arizona, it shouldn't matter.
They still can land a McDonald's All-American, though. Jalen Green, who is, you know, considering Arizona. Richard Jefferson was on the jump yesterday saying, hey, come to Arizona.
Great weather.
Great living in Tucson. Game sold out all the time. And Zaire Williams from Sierra Canyon, he's a five-star small forward, one of the best prospects on the West Coast. So Arizona still in the running to land a possible McDonald's All-American. I'm going to speculate here and think and say I probably think the most realistic player that Arizona can get is Zaire Williams.
Yeah, that's a name that, you know in recruiting areas that pop up for Arizona. I think he's, you know, in Arizona, you know, he's got Arizona in his final five teams.
Yep.
I think along with a couple other Pac-12 schools. But, you know, he would be a very good pickup for the Wildcats as well. And he would be their only, you know, if they get him, he would be their only five-star recruit of the class. Because Dalen Terry, he's a four-star guy. You know, you could make the argument that he could be a five-star. But right now, you know, he's still in that four category. And you don't really have a lot of other Terry's the only committed recruit, incoming freshman.
Benedict Mathurin.
Yeah, the international guy.
Yeah, but he was an unknown, and then all of a sudden, once he committed to Arizona, his ratings just boosted. Because when you're getting looked at by Arizona and you commit, it draws some attention.
Yeah. But yeah, Zaire would be, the prospect, if they were able to land him, that would be the headliner in that class.
Absolutely. We're going to answer some Twitter mailbag questions before we get into the Arizona ASU matchup and our Pac-12 pick-ems. Blair Willis commented on our status. We mentioned my iconic moments, memorable moments. Blair Willis, big shout out to him, former Arizona football SID. He said a game in 2003-2004 with Lou pointing at the scoreboard during a blowout win in Tempe following some chants from the student section. Another one, Todd Johnson at AZDog1. He asked us, Alec, what impact will a healthy Romello White have? Also, why does Zona get shafted 2 years in a row getting home games against ASU while students are on break? And finally, love or hate Curtain of Distraction. So there's three parts of this.
Okay. So it's a heavy layered.
Romello White, impact when he's healthy.
He's going to be a guy that gets offensive and defensive rebounds for the Sun Devils. Without Chase Jeter, with all of the criticisms that come towards Chase Jeter's way, he's been quite effective when he's played against ASU the last 2 years. I know last year in Tempe, he was a little bit hobbled coming off a back injury, so he didn't have as big an impact. But in the couple other games that he's played against the Sun Devils, he's been a key part of Arizona's game plan on the boards. And so without him, Romello White's probably going to be more active on the boards. So Arizona's going to have to use Ira Lee and Stone Gennings more down in the paint, rather than spacing those guys out. You're going to have to pay more attention to Romello White in the paint. He's got decent touch around the basket in terms of scoring, not great, but he can still, the second effort from Romello White is going to be key for the Wildcats to stop.
Yeah. And even though he's undersized, the way he fights for rebounds, the way he gets positioned, he's going to be an X factor one way or another. And Sean Miller even talked about that yesterday during his press conference. Out of all the, the players ASU has, Rob Edwards, Romello White, and Remy Martin, those are three key players for ASU for tomorrow. So, yeah, I think Romello White, if he's healthy, he's going to have an impact on tomorrow night's game. So why does Zona get shafted 2 years in a row getting home games against ASU while students are on break? That's a million-dollar question, my friend. We will never know. We will never know. I don't know why.
I think, it's just scheduling. I don't think it's anything malicious done from the intent from the Pac-12 to, shaft over Arizona and be like, oh, we don't want Arizona to have students at the game. I just think, it often happens when it's early on in the conference, right? Because that's, conference play, the first week or two, usually students aren't back depending on, what weekend break falls on and things like that. So Pac-12 wants to schedule good marquee games at the beginning of the Pac-12 slate, and oftentimes that's a rivalry game. And so sometimes you'll get the case where it's USC versus UCLA to start Pac-12 play, or Oregon versus Oregon State. And some years it seems like more often than not, it's Arizona versus ASU in Tucson. But last year it was the last game of the year here in McHale. I know, a couple years, my freshman year, so that would have been 20 in college, 2016. It was, right after winter break, so students were at that game. So, two of the last 4 years, it's been, students here in the Zona Zoo, and the other 2 years they haven't. But I don't think it's any intent of the Pac-12 to screw over Arizona.
And finally, love or hate, Curtain of Distraction. I love it.
Oh,
I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's their thing. They it's ASU's brand. They have some some crude humor ones that are out there. But you know, it's cool. You'll have one that has like Michael Phelps has joined in on it. James Harden's, I think, joined in on it, you know, once or twice. So, it's always good for your rival to you do anything. And it's not like a malicious thing at Arizona either. They're not, you know, using curse words. It's just a fun ploy.
It's an attraction too, because they seem to get Phoenix athletes. Like, they'll get Archie Bradley to come out for a game. I believe Ryan Bader, a UFC fighter, was at one.
Oh, yep.
And he came dressed as like a wrestler and looking all weird. But it works. I remember DeAndre Ayton, when he was shooting free throws after the game, we asked him, he said, yeah, man, it definitely catches your eye because you're getting ready for a free throw and you see a guy dressed up as a wrestler, you know, going nuts.
He's got just a Speedo on.
Yeah, exactly. The only tradition I don't like at ASU, I love the curtain of distraction. I think their student section always shows out for the Arizona game. The only one I don't like is the national anthem.
Yes.
Because whenever somebody sings the national anthem or the band plays it, at the end, when it's land of the free and the home of the – and then the whole student section yells out devils right before anybody can say brave.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. Let them finish the national anthem. That's dumb. Even ASU writers that I've talked to, they're like, this is so dumb. So dumb. But anyways, Alec, let's look ahead to some Pac-12 basketball for this weekend. Interesting matchups that jump out to you.
Pac-12 basketball, interesting matchups.
I think, you know, obviously we're going to talk Arizona ASU, towards the end of the slate here. But Oregon has UCLA, a down UCLA team this year. They pulled off one impressive win in double overtime last night. Did you get a chance to watch Oregon, any of that? Oregon USC?
Yeah, Oregon won that. Mm-hmm. I mean, didn't see all of that game. I saw, you know, the first half. I thought Oregon looked really good, and then they had a double digit lead in the second half and they just kind of let it slip. USC had a nice run. You know, Peyton Pritchard, Chris Duarte, they went off for the Ducks. I think Duarte had 30 points.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He also had like eight or nine steals.
Yeah. He was very impressive. You know, Peyton Pritchard, he's probably, you know, your best Pac-12, you know, point guard by, you know, a fair margin right now. He's been ultra impressive. Hit a big shot against couple big shots against Washington last weekend. But it was interesting to see Oregon, especially at home, give up a big second half lead like that. And because USC hasn't really, I think they beat Stanford, and I think Stanford and USC went to double overtime or overtime as well last weekend. So it was interesting to see, you know, even though USC doesn't really have a huge marquee win, they were able to push the Ducks.
Do you think they beat Oregon State on Saturday in Corvallis?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think I like, you know, they've got some good pieces.
Onyeka, he's like a sneaky NBA prospect that nobody has really talked about because he plays at USC. I think USC bounces back. Oregon State, tough opponent. This game's in Corvallis. We know how they play at Gil Coliseum, but I like the Trojans in this game. Washington State at Utah.
What's happened to Utah?
A very sleeper game. You don't know what you're going to get out of Utah. They're like a box of chocolates.
You never know what you're going to get.
Never know what you're going to get. They can either come out, shoot the lights out, play good. They've always been well coached by Larry Kostowiak. But, man, over the last couple weeks, especially again in this Arizona trip, they just look like crap.
Yeah, they've lost 4 of 5, but they had a bounce back win, I guess you could call it, against Washington. They beat Washington by one, and I mean, we'll get to the Washington matchup in a second, but you know,
that's a terrible loss by Washington.
Terrible.
Oof. Yeah.
You know, Utah, they're gonna be at home. I think they've got a good chance to win there at the Huntsman Center. You know, Washington State, just kind of a middle of the, you know, towards the back end of the Pac-12. So, I don't know, Utah's just that weird team where you thought that, you know, they really had something, you know, they had a game early in the year where they scored 143 points.
Jeez.
Doesn't matter who your opponent is, that's still impressive in college basketball. They, you know, they beat BYU, they beat Kentucky, they beat Oregon State. And then all of a sudden after that Oregon State win, loss, and then, you know, the 1 point win against Washington. So it's just been a weird season for Utah.
So you got the Utes?
I'm still going to take the Utes.
I got the Cougs.
All right.
Shout out to my guy, CJ Ellaby. DJ Rodman has been, playing some quality minutes for the Cougars. So I'm going to go with Washington State on the road. Washington at number 23, Colorado. This should be a good game. There's, you know, some NBA talent on the court. I'm a big fan of McKinley Wright in his game. I also like Tyler Bay, but Washington also has some NBA talent. You mentioned their most recent loss. Do they bounce back?
On the road against Colorado. I don't think so.
And they get
without Quade Green, who was suspended for academic ineligibility, till, you know, mid-March, this team has just not looked the same. Can't move the ball. You know, the spacing on the court's a little weird. You know, with that zone defense that they run, he was, you know, a Kentucky transfer, you know, so he's got a high, you know, high basketball IQ, and it's just, they've just fallen off a cliff. They've got, you know, a freshman, Jaden McDaniel. He's probably still their best player on the court for Washington, but they don't have any offense, and they play at such a slow pace with, you know, the zone that they just haven't been able, since he left, they've scored 55 points, 58 points, 56 points, 61 points, 66 points. So they're not a high scoring team, and, you know, you're losing probably your second best offensive player and a guy that, you know, runs your offense. So, you know, Washington, I don't think, you know, they're going to be able to do much against Colorado.
And it's tough to play at CU.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Buffaloes too in this game. I think that game against Arizona last weekend doesn't really show what kind of team they are. They're a much better team than that. While Arizona played phenomenal, I think Colorado at home against a Washington team who's going to give Colorado its best shot. I still like the Buffaloes at home. Sunday games, UCLA and Oregon, Stanford versus Cal. Man, that Stanford versus Cal game, that's going to be a sleeper. That's going to be a close game, I would think. I mean, I know Cal's not very good.
But they're at home,
it's, and it's a rivalry game.
Yeah, it's – I mean –
And Stanford's been one.
Are we ready to put Stanford in the discussion to win the Pac-12 yet?
Yeah.
I mean, are we there?
I would say so. I mean, they lost last weekend, and that was their first Pac-12 loss.
Yeah.
And they've been one of the more surprising teams in the league, without a doubt. And I think they're going to win against Cal. How much? I don't know. But the one thing I love about Stanford is they're probably one of the more gritty teams in the Pac-12, they dive to the floor. Jared Haas and his coaching staff, they actually keep track on how many times guys dive for loose balls. That's like a stat that they keep track of. So they're all about hustle, all about making plays. Stanford, like I said, one of the more surprising teams in the Pac-12. I like the Cardinal.
Stanford, I'll take Stanford as well. It'll be interesting, though, for them. Their schedule really toughens up over the next month. After the Cal game, they're at home, but they play Oregon State and Oregon. They're at Utah, at Colorado. Then they play ASU, Arizona. Then they're at Washington. So you got a big stretch. You know, I think over the next, you know, 3 weeks or so, we're going to find out whether or not the Stanford team is legit. Cause I think they're good, but I still think people are still debating on whether or not they're as good as Oregon and Arizona, even though they're, you know, top of the Pac-12 right now.
Yeah.
I think the next month will really show a lot of what Stanford's potential is for, you know, February and March.
UCLA, Oregon. Sharif O'Neal announced that he's transferring from UCLA, but he was averaging a little over 2 points off the bench.
Yeah, he wasn't playing much.
Here's my thing. Did Arizona dodge a bullet not getting Sharif O'Neal? Because if he's not good enough.
Hindsight's always 20-20.
Sure.
But at the moment, yes.
Play, if he's not good enough to play on this UCLA team, a very mediocre UCLA team, if he's not good enough to play on this team, where does he fall with Arizona? You know?
Yeah.
A lot of people have had high expectations for him because, you know, he was Shaq's son. And he had the last name to go along with it. But I also feel for him because, you know, he went through something no 18-year-old should ever go through. And that's open heart surgery. So maybe he's still recovering from that, still trying to get back to his normal self. But for the time being, it looks like it was a good thing that Arizona didn't get him. And no, he's not coming to Arizona.
No.
He's not coming to Arizona. At least I'm just saying that. Watch him actually do come to Arizona for some reason. But he's not coming to Arizona. If anything, he'll probably look to stay close to home, go play at a mid-major. But, you know, he's got the skill. And, you know, he was a highly ranked recruit. But how much of that was because of his background, I don't know. But regardless, UCLA, they're playing against Oregon. Do you like the Bruins on the road or do you like the Ducks?
I'm going to take the Ducks.
Yeah.
UCLA just, they're still a mediocre team that's figuring it out.
They're bad.
They've had some really bad losses. And Oregon at home, it's a weird, it's a 3 p.m. tip-off. It would be 2 p.m. for local time out in Eugene. So kind of a mid-afternoon game. But I think Oregon wins pretty convincingly.
Me too. All right, now the game everybody wants to talk about. Arizona against ASU, number 22 ranked Wildcats against the Sun Devils, 7:30 p.m. on Pac-12 networks in Tempe. We don't know the status of Chase Jeter yet. He's still dealing with back spasms. He didn't participate in the contact part of practice, but he was still involved in drills. Arizona implemented him in practice as the week went on. What do you like about this game? What do you think about this matchup?
Well, for Arizona, I think, you know, they've got the hot hand right now. And what I really like about Arizona is all of the surrounding players for the Wildcats, not necessarily, you know, your main freshman, Nico, Josh, and Zeke, but, you know, the other pieces on this team have really stepped up since the Oregon State game. You know, Stone Gettings has been a good force off the bench. You know, he started in place of Chase Jeter, and that's really opened up the spacing of this offense. You know, Nico Mannion has been, you know, he's leading all freshmen in assists in the conference right now. He's been, you know, good. And you've got Max Hazard. He's all of a sudden shooting lights out from three. He had 9 three-pointers over the course of 2 games against Utah and Colorado. He has been huge. Ira Lee, as we started talking off the top of this podcast, has been great off the bench as well. Dylan Smith, you know, he's hot and cold, but he's found his moment. So I just think right now, you know, Arizona was relying so much on the freshmen to make plays that, you know, if they had an off game, everything would just collapse. But now these, you know, the other pieces, you know, your veteran players have really stepped up. And that's why I think the Wildcats, if those pieces gel together again, I think the Wildcats should win by, you know, 15, 20 points.
Ira Lee and Dylan Smith have really come a long way since that St. John's game. They were benched in the second half. They didn't play the entire second half because they took ill-advised shots. They were doing a little too much. Now they've settled into their role. Dylan Smith knows what he needs to do. And if there's a scoring element to Dylan Smith on a particular night, that's good for Arizona. But he has the ability to defend. He has the ability to rebound. When he doesn't do any of that, when he doesn't rebound or defend, and he's got an off night offensively, he ends up becoming a liability. Ira Lee, same thing. If he's not rebounding, playing good defense, what is he good for? Because Ira Lee, as we all know, isn't an offensive guy. Whenever Ira Lee gets in the game, are we expecting him to do things offensively? No, he needs to do all the little things, rebound, play defense. And if the offense game comes along with it, then that's good for Arizona. That happened against Colorado for both Ira Lee and Dylan Smith. And then also, you mentioned the addition of Max Hazard. He's been quiet all year long. He stepped up against Long Beach State.
He had a good run against Gonzaga. He had 3 3-pointers against Gonzaga that, you know, were beneficial for the Wildcats. But other than that, yeah, he's been
– You totally forgot about him. So with him coming along, making the three-pointers, Arizona's got a team now. But can you win on the road in the Pac-12? Because Arizona has yet to do it.
So the thing I look at for Arizona State is they're one of the worst shooting teams in the Pac-12 for whatever reason this year. Even though it seems like they have guys that when you say their names that you think that, oh, they're, you know, really great shooters. You know, you got Remy Martin. You have Alonzo Verge, the freshman off the bench. You have, you know, Jalen House.
Edwards.
Rob Edwards. Mickey Mitchell. You say all these guys and they're like, oh, wow, you know, they should be, you know, right up there with, you know, some of the Pac-12's best shooting teams. They're 10th in both three-point percentage and field goal percentage in the Pac-12, which is bad. And so we've seen, especially that first game between these two teams where ASU just went, you know, they went cold from the floor and Arizona just gets a bucket here, gets a bucket there, and all of a sudden you look up and the Wildcats are, you know, up by 18 points and they just have their foot on the gas the rest of the way. So, but ASU always plays better at home, especially against the Wildcats. So I expect the first half to be close. And if the second half ASU struggles to shoot, I think that's when the Wildcats make a move.
So how much do you have Arizona winning by?
I'll take Arizona. I think they win by 12.
By 12?
Yeah, 12 to 15 points. You know, I think this is a game. Underrated storyline is Nico Mannion and Josh Green coming back up to Phoenix. They played high school ball. You know, Nico went to Pinnacle, Josh Green at IMG Academy. So a semi-homecoming for them. They'll probably have some, you know, friends and family in attendance up there. So I'm sure, you know, I expect, you know, them to have some big games. But right now, I like, you know, what the Wildcats have been able to do, especially defensively, but offensively, they seem to be finally finding a groove. So I expect the Wildcats to win convincingly.
I like Arizona as well. 12 points is probably a good spot, but I think ASU might get a spark to start off the second half and tie the game up, but then eventually you're going to see the talent of guys like Zeke Nagy and Josh Green and Nico Mannion, the freshman-led Wildcats, I think eventually are going to pull out this game. Although it's going to be tough. And can you win it on the road in the Pac-12? I know it's in-state, but winning on the road, Arizona has struggled to play in these road contests. Can they do it? Now, fortunately for them, they have their fan base right behind them. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're playing against Oregon or Oregon State where a majority of the fans are rooting against them. While ASU might have more fans in attendance, it's going to be what, 60-40?
Yeah, you'll probably have
70-30.
The last few years, there hadn't been a lot of Wildcat fans in Tempe for these games, specifically just because ASU had been a much improved team. You know, they were ranked a couple years ago when the Wildcats went to Tempe, and then last year, it was obviously a down year for the Wildcats, so not many made the trip for that one. But you'll probably have a 70-30 crowd, and, you know, the Wildcats, whenever they're in Tempe, you know, Wildcat fans always make those U of A chants just a little louder.
Absolutely.
But one last note that I want to plug in here is last time the Sun Devils did not have an answer at all for Zeke Nagy. Zeke Nagy led all scores for the Wildcats. He had 17 points, 11 rebounds, 9 of them on the defensive end. He was 7 of 11 from, you know, the field. He had a couple offensive rebounds, 2 steals. ASU's, you know, we haven't really touched on it, but ASU's got to find somebody that's going to guard Nagy, because Bobby Hurley said after the game that he's one of the best freshmen he's seen in a while, so...
Well, and that's the impact going back to our Twitter mailbag, Romello White.
Mm-hmm.
Romello White wasn't 100% the first time they played against each other. He was just coming off an injury. Maybe Romello White can have an impact. Yep. I don't know. But, you know, this game is going to be exciting regardless. Number 22, Arizona versus the Arizona State Sun Devils in Tempe. You can watch that game on Pac-12 Network's tip-off set for 7:30 p.m. But make sure you follow us on Twitter. basketball is always fun when Twitter is involved. So if you want to keep up with live updates while you're sitting at home, make sure you follow us on Twitter at The Wildcaster. We'll have live in-game updates. And also download the Wildcaster app. Tons of good stuff coming from the app. Baseball and softball season is upon us. Arizona women's basketball, they have a big game tonight against the ASU Sun Devils. PJ Brown will have a story on that game. We also have football content. I mean, there are a lot of things coming out of the Wildcaster app. So download it. It's free and available on the App Store. If you have an Android, it's free on Google Play as well. And if you want to, I highly recommend that you do so. Subscribe to the Wildcast podcast on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review, share with all your friends. Arizona, ASU basketball, man.
Let's do
I'm
it.
Excited. For Alec, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening.
We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.